Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, you want to hear more about L'Jarius Sneed? We know a little bit more about L'Jarius Sneed. Adam Schefter was on with Pat McAfee today, and he talked about L'Jarius Sneed and potential talks that are rumored to have occurred between the Colts and the Chiefs, and Adam Schefter was pretty damn definitive in discussing whether these talks actually happened. We'll talk about that a little bit. I keep trying to tell you about Chris Ballard, and you know about Chris Ballard, and you know what kind of deals he makes. And you know what kind of deals he doesn't make. Which pile does this wind up in? Which bucket is this in? L'Jarius Sneed, a cornerback at the age of 27. Does this fit in the bucket of deals that he would make or the bucket of deals he wouldn't make? Goodness sake, you know his track record for making trades. You know how he builds teams. We're going to talk about that. We'll also talk about Indiana basketball. Man, are former IU players upset with Mike Woodson, the direction of this program? This is not good. Are there legitimate reasons that Scott Dolson and Pamela Witten, the president of Indiana University, should bring Mike Woodson back? Is there anything to what's gone on, especially this year, that would lead you to believe or lead a reasonable person to believe that this thing is going to be able to pivot and move in the right direction? You tell me. We've been around a long time, and we have seen a lot of good times and bad times with Indiana basketball. What does this feel like, and where does this feel like it's headed? We'll talk about that too. This is Inside Indiana Sports Now with Ken Sterling for Monday, March 18th, 2024, brought to you by the great people at MyBookie. MyBookie is absolutely wonderful. It's a fun place to go. Number one, fun, because that's why you do what you do. It's March Madness time, so you want to pit your wits against others, don't you? They got contests on there. They got prop bets. They got the games you can wager on, all kinds of stuff at MyBookie. And get this, use the promo code Kent and you can unlock up to a $1,000 sign-up bonus with your first deposit. That's MyBookie, promo code Kent. Make sure and subscribe to this channel. You don't want to miss anything, do you? The news keeps happening. Indiana's season is over. The Colts season is over. The draft is 6 weeks away, but stuff keeps happening, and it happens in a torrent. It happens all the time. You don't want to miss anything, so hit that bell icon as well. Subscribe and the bell, and you get instant alerts every time we go live. Hit the thumbs up like. That's the like sign. Thumbs up. Some people confused. How do I like your videos? Look for the thumbs up. That means like. And if you want to make a donation, make a donation. We get a cool graphic. I will read your comment, your question. We will answer it. We will discuss that is what we will do. Let's talk about the Indianapolis Colts and L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed, not a bad cornerback. He's okay. He was a fourth-round pick in 2020. The Chiefs franchised him at $19.7 million for the 2024 season. They, it is rumored, are trying to trade him. Adam Schefter came on with Pat McAfee today and said, hey, there's nothing to it. Yesterday, I got cold. that there have been no talks between the Colts and the Chiefs. All this smoke, sometimes it's just a tire fire. You know what I mean? Sometimes ain't any kind of real fire to it. And that is, of course, what this is. Chris Ballard, here's how he operates. He does not put himself in the line of fire for accepting responsibility for mistakes. He doesn't like doing that. He rarely makes a deal that grabs headlines. This would be a headline-grabbing deal because two reasons. Number one, the draft equity that would need to go the Chiefs' way. Chris Ballard loves him picks. We'll get to that in a little bit. And the amount of money that they would have to spend for a cornerback who is not bad, but he's never made a Pro Bowl. He's never been on an all-pro team. There are cornerbacks in the league better than him. He is not a bad cornerback, and he kind of fits the Colts in a number of ways. He's tall, long. He likes sticking his nose in, making plays. But we know these things about Chris Ballard. He builds from the inside out, right? Chris Ballard loathes overspending. He calls the deal for DeForest Buckner taking a risk. That's not really a risk. That's buying a car that has got like 6 million five-star reviews and deciding, you know what, this is a weak draft. So giving up the 13th overall draft pick, that's not that big a deal in a weak draft. We've assessed this draft to be weak. We don't believe we're going to get anybody at 13 who's worth a damn, so we may as well ship 13 to the Giants.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And signed DeForest Buckner as though he's a free agent. That made sense. It made sense in the moment. And DeForest Buckner has validated the trust shown in him by Chris Ballard when he made that deal. Good deal for the Colts. Knew it was a good deal in the moment. This, not so much. You got a draft coming up where at 15, you're going to be able to get a game-changing elite-level receiver, a terrific weapon, or you can get a really good cornerback in either the first or the second rounds. 11 different cornerbacks graded first round, second round. Now, you know, I know what you're saying, and I'm with you. I get it. Chris Ballard has not shown an ability to draft cornerbacks. You're right. Rock Ya-Sin, right? Quincy Wilson, right? Nate Hairston. Mm-hmm. And who's the fourth? Isaiah Rogers, Rock Ya-Sin, Quincy Wilson, Nate Hairston. They're the four guys. He's drafted four of them. That's all. Two in the first draft, none in the last three drafts. Do you know why people... general managers draft guys at different positions. Some of them, it's because they are really comfortable drafting at that position and not so comfortable at drafting the others. Chris Ballard is not comfortable drafting corners. He's got to get over that. Why, when you can draft at 46 a player who is likely to be as good eventually as Legarius Sneed is today? You control that player for 4 years. You're able to pay him a living wage, right? But not go overboard with money. Keeps you in the game, keeps you with some of that cap room that you need to be able to make moves, maybe sign a safety or two the remainder of the offseason. Look, this offseason's got a long way to go. We just started this offseason, for goodness sake. We got the draft to go. We got minicamp. We got OTAs. We got people being waived. We got people still in free agency. We're going to have people still in free agency in the month of June. So this isn't done. The hay's not in the barn. Let's let this man do his job this month and next month before we start casting stones and say this guy's a boob and that because of inactivity, they've signed one defensive tackle, which is a pretty nice sign. Raekwon Davis can play a little bit. He's a good component. Now you've got somebody who can come in for DeForest Buckner or Grover Stewart and move around, make plays, which is what Raekwon Davis wants to do. Nice signing. Good. 2 years, $14 million. You know what? We talk about money way too much, but it's important to understand the money because of Chris Ballard's aversion to spending it, which we assume has something to do with Jim Irsay's money and the Irsay family deciding that they don't want to spend their money irresponsibly. Like, this isn't his money. Chris Ballard in there counting shekels like some kind of miserly agent who operates on behalf of Jim Irsay. He's being told by the Irsay family, here's how we do business. Here's what you can spend. Go spend that. We need to spend 91% of our cap space on a four-year rolling average. Go do that. That's what Chris Ballard does. This was easy to see coming. I don't understand. Number one, I don't understand the feverish obsession that people have with a pretty good cornerback. I don't get it. And I also don't get, from a Chris Ballard perspective, if he did make this deal, I would think it was a bad one. I don't think it's a good trade. If you have to give up a second and a fifth, something like that, plus pay the man $20 million a year, I think you get fleeced. If you just sign him as a free agent at $20 million a year, that's getting fleeced, including the picks. I think that's crazy. Let's talk about Indiana basketball. Man, I'll tell you what. Indiana basketball is driving me a little bit of crazy because I don't understand the way the players and the coach for IU walk around like they've done something. I don't get it. I don't understand that. I don't understand the social media aspect of Indiana basketball. I don't understand the senior day speeches. I don't understand blaming fans. I don't understand blaming Xavier Johnson and his injury. I don't understand blaming the youth of this. Who put together this roster? Did this roster just fall in Woodson's lap? No, this is year three. I don't understand. No recruits in the pipeline whatsoever. So now you got to go out and cobble something together with the transfer portal, knowing that you've got three scholarships to fill and then whatever you lose. And you've got to assume, right, that Caleb Banks is a goner. You've got to assume CJ Gunn is a goner. Those guys, they got an opportunity. They, whatever they did it to their own detriment, put their own asses on the bench. And then you've got a guy in Mike Woodson. Two strikes against Woodson. Strike number one was deciding that he had something better to do with his time toward the end of that Nebraska game, picking up that second technical on purpose and going for a walk. That's not good. If you got a leader who quits on a team, decides he'd rather... Tim Floyd did that as a Bulls coach back in the day. You always hear the stories about him wanting to go to the bar, wanting to go to the lodge on Division Street, getting thrown out of a game. And before the game ended, he was in the lodge on Division Street watching a game on TV with friends. Like, what? How in the hell could that possibly happen? It did. Mike Woodson just decided, you know what, I'm going to drop an F-bomb or whatever he said to the officials. It wasn't like in a peak of outrage and anger, says something, they run him, he just walks off and he's gone. What kind of a guy does that? That's unacceptable to abandon your team. And that's exactly what he did. It wasn't that he was angry at the officials. As you say the magic word, you get an escort back to the locker room. That's what he did. And then, you know, the true fans business, just absolutely terrible. But the other thing that's damning and is a strike is not playing in the NIT. Like, you got a chance to play more basketball. And if you've got a chance to play more basketball, you play more basketball. I think Indiana would have gotten a bid to the NIT. And that would have been a reward, I would guess, for winning going on that 5-game win streak. That would have been a good thing. It would have been a positive thing. A chance to go out there and win games. But you know this, 2005, Mike Davis going 1-and-done against Vanderbilt in the NIT, that got him shot a year later, you know? And then Crean not being able to play at Assembly Hall and going down to Georgia Tech and losing in the first round of the NIT, that made it simple too. So, you know, the NIT and Indiana coaches, not a great combination, at least not for career longevity. Jake says, diehard IU fan, but they are full of themselves. This team hasn't made a Final Four since 2002. No titles in almost 40 years. They are irrelevant. Jake, I'm going to argue with you here. They're not irrelevant. And the reason they're not irrelevant is because of you, because of me, and because of all of us. We continue to talk about Indiana. We continue to watch Indiana. We make them relevant. The players are not driving the relevance. The coach is not driving the relevance. We drive the relevance, and we need to voice our displeasure if we have displeasure. If you have pleasure, voice pleasure too, to those in charge so that they understand they're being held accountable and that they're demanding that Mike Woodson be held accountable. Now, look, you can't go changing coaches every 3 or 4 years and call yourself a solid, stable program, but you got to hire the right guy. There is no information available that would confirm that Mike Woodson is that right guy. There is none. If you got some you want to share, I want to hear it. Put it in the comments. Share it with the class because I don't see it. I see a guy who is lost. I see a guy who's a good department head, but being the basketball coach at Indiana isn't about being a department head. It's about being the CEO of that university's most visible division. You are the CEO. You shop for the groceries. You cook the groceries. You present what that product is. You plate it. You serve it. And it better damn well be delicious. And it better be good enough to beat these other guys who are doing the same thing, whether it's Izzo, whether it's Hoiberg, whether it's Pikel, whether it's Brad Underwood, whoever it is, Chris Collins, Greg Gard, you better be able to do that. And if you can't, go do something else. Mike Woodson's old enough and he's got all the money in the world. Go enjoy your life. Why do this so poorly that it drives you crazy? I don't think it does drive him crazy, and that's a problem, and I totally agree. These guys parade themselves around. I'm talking about everybody associated with Indiana basketball. Like, they've done something. Players and Woodson and the three assistants. Yeah, I think Jordan Hulls and Calbert Chaney are trying to get some things done. The other people are running around like, you know what, they're the kings of the universe and run the show in college basketball, and they're a middle-tier Big Ten program at best. And that's so sad to me. And that anybody would allow this to continue, I just don't get it. They better have evidence that something good can come of this, because the only selling point that that program's got is cash, NIL money. They got a lot of cash to throw around. Is that really the point of differentiation you're paying $4.2 million a year to get? Is that it? If it is, hey, you know what? We can stop talking about it. Colts stopped signing free agent after they signed a backup QB. Yeah, that's pretty much it. They have so far. There'll be more free agents that are signed. They'll just be kind of under the radar guys who left the bottom end of the roster. They need more than that, but they're not a cornerback away. They're not L'Jarius Sneed away from a Super Bowl. They're not. So doing that deal, I think, would do more harm toward the future success of the Colts than do help with the present success of the Colts. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Breakfast with Kent, bright and early. We went early today because we get up with energy. We wake up with purpose and intent. And we share it at 6:40 every morning.